We've had some discussions lately about whether having Biden in office or Trump in office would activate the left more effectively. I'd say the true revolutionaries are going to be active either way, but the comfy Dems, the professional managerial class Dems and Republicans, probably will go back to sleep if Joe Biden is the president. They just want to get back to brunch. And as much as I hate to say this, I think we need their help. The revolution will be much bloodier if it's peasants against PMC. In our current system, it's obvious that the comfy Dems have a lot of sway. The Weintraub moms gave us Joe Biden, and there wasn't a damn thing we could do about it. If we ever do get to a system where voting matters, I think that the comfy Dems are going to be necessary. I've talked about coalitions between left and right populists, the bottom half of the economic ladder joining together to fight the oligarchs, but I don't want to fight the professional managerial class and the oligarchs together. I think somehow we need to get the bottom 90% of the people who have been harmed by neoliberalism to join each other and fight the oligarchy. With a Biden presidency, we might get the bottom half to join together, but I don't think we'll get the PMC, comfy Dems, and Republicans to join us. So my guess is that it would be better for the left, and it would be better for impoverished workers if we had Trump again. Now, I'm not saying to vote for Trump, but all these people who say voting third party is going to get us Trump, I say it doesn't really matter. It matters about as much as who wins the next WrestleMania. We're still going to have oligarchic control either way. I can say, well, just go back and keep swilling your mainstream media, you comfy Dems. But I'd rather say, no, it does matter who you vote for, but it's not going to change the fact that we're being ruled by plutocrats. And I'd rather not have to witness the comfy people going back to brunch after Joe Biden wins. So let's start out with a Medium article by Lauren Martinchek. When Joe Biden wins, what comes next? Liberals might go back to sleep, but the left won't. While for a bit it looked as though Donald Trump was going to have a legitimate shot at re-election, one should not be surprised that he would manage to blow his chances against a man who is essentially running on nothing but the fact that he is the only viable alternative. With the election less than a month away and Trump's polling of likely voters now dipping below 40 in some cases, as opposed to Joe Biden's 53%, it's becoming increasingly likely that the president may not even be able to get the election results within the striking distance he would need in order to effectively cheat through to victory. As the prospects of a Joe Biden administration become increasingly likely the closer we get to the election, I've begun to once again consider the likely implications of what his presidency would bring. Recently on Twitter, I stumbled across a screenshot of a since-deleted tweet from Matthew Miller in which he said, "Elect Joe Biden so you can read books at night rather than endlessly doom-scrolling Twitter." A second image with the screenshot showed a woman with a protest sign that read, "If Hillary was president, we'd be at brunch." And therein lies what we have known to be true all along. Maybe not all, but a significant number of liberals who have spent the past 4 years arguing that once we get Donald Trump out, the Democratic president can be pushed to the left, actually have no intention of helping to do so. They have no interest in putting forth the energy required to end the wars. They do not want to fight for Medicare for all. Whether they want to admit it or not, the entire point for Democratic Party loyalists is merely to win power. What's done with it after is meaningless and largely irrelevant. In fact, I would argue liberals will put forth more energy in defending the inevitable inaction of an administration that promised nothing would fundamentally change than they will towards pushing it left. Make no mistake, I understand the threat posed by Donald Trump and everything that he represents. I understand that this election, whether we like it or not, ultimately comes down to who we would rather fight. But I do hope liberals know that while they might be content to go back to political disengagement and brunches after he has voted out of office, I and many others on the left will not be so easily satisfied. Donald Trump and his fascism is just one part of the battle. Democrats and their complacency is the other, and arguably even more difficult. Yes, Lauren, that's what I've been saying all along. Engaging the comfy people who vote in primary elections is important. Even in a rigged system, engaging the comfy people who are more active politically, the ones who vote in primaries, is going to be a big deal going forward. The PMC has to be engaged, and they have to be engaged on behalf of the bottom 90%, of which they are a part. Back to the story. The thing is, we see through the ruse. For liberals, pushing Joe Biden to the left is nothing more than a facade. We know that the second Joe Biden takes power and Democrats potentially take the Senate, they will put forth more energy into suppressing the left than they ever did in fighting against Donald Trump and the Republican Party. We know that the second they are in power, liberals will be more worried about telling leftists to shut up already and vote blue no matter who than they are about what Democrats are actually doing or not doing with their power. They'll be more worried about losing a newfound Senate majority than they are about the fact that Democrats are doing nothing with it to improve the material condition of the people they are entrusted to serve. I have absolutely no intention of allowing Democrats to continue to play with our lives and stability. I have no intention of sitting by watching while they use the struggles of the masses as props for their own power while doing nothing meaningful to fix them. I have no intention of ignoring the fact that they are obstacles, actively standing in the way of progress. I and the overwhelming majority of people do not have the luxury of no fundamental change, and it frankly does not matter to me at all that this challenge to their worldview might be uncomfortable or even make them angry. I am fully aware that there is a fight ahead against Republicans and corporate Democrats alike that I may not ever live to see the outcome of, but we owe it to the generations who come after us to fight anyways, because there is simply too much at stake to turn away. Whether liberals want to take part in that fight or not, it will happen with or without them. So, Lauren, to engage the liberals, it might actually work out better if Trump were to win his second term. Thomas Green is back. He sent me a link to this article, and I think it's pretty interesting. I'm not saying I agree with it, but I'm not saying I disagree with it either. Trump might accidentally save America. John Brown knows what I'm talking about. The abolitionist John Brown is a hero of mine. He captured my heart by leading a failed slave revolt in 1859, taking up arms because landowners would not listen to reason, and he doubted that God would wait patiently for them to get a clue. Like Jeanne d'Arc, he made slow, bloody progress toward ultimate annihilation, always certain that he was right. I'm confident that he would approve of America's current political trajectory. Indeed, I can picture him rubbing his hands and smiling. To see this guy rubbing his hands and smiling would be pretty scary, I think. Donald Trump is no hero to me, yet I think he might accidentally save America if he gets a second term. I've said this before. The United States is dazed and stumbling. We can march all we please, but there's no real justice for black citizens, and there won't be. Racism is baked in. We've got wildfires, hurricanes, floods, a severe economic contraction, and a deadly virus that has infected over 7 million Americans at this writing, including, with deep irony, President Donald and several members of the White House staff. I see the fist of a vengeful God poised to squash a once great nation like a bug, and I wonder if it might be wrong to stand in his way. Yes, I'm thinking about collapse, and yes, I imagine it to be redemptive because we've made such a sturdy mess. We created a vast, permanent underclass of service sector gig workers who will never earn their way out of the stagnant financial pool they're drowning in. Redemptive also because our major political and financial institutions will defend this broken system with their lifeblood. Asking for relief is futile. The international plutocracy is possessed by greed that defies reason. They cannot be satisfied with anything short of everything. Redemptive finally because without serious disruption, America will never atone for its original sins, encouraging slavery and erasing its indigenous nations. Our fumbling evasion of those two radical truths will leave us morally crippled forever. Talking in circles. Our language is hollow. We like to say we're making progress, so let's hang on and have faith and we'll get there eventually. We cite employment figures in the Civil Rights Act of 1964 and the Voting Rights Act of 1965. We talk about Martin Luther King Jr. and his dream. Come on, everyone wants to see little black boys and black girls join hands with little white boys and white girls as sisters and brothers. I don't know a single soul who hasn't wanted that for the past 50 years, but it still isn't happening. We're polite, but not effective. The N-word gives us the vapors, but the S-word does too. Be sure to mention reparations for slavery during your next Lincoln Center fundraising gala and see how the Park Avenue liberals react. We've memorized language designed to steer us away from any meaningful talk about, say, the number of cities that might have to burn to bring the national plutocracy to the table. Our political establishment recognizes but a tiny district where valid ideas flourish and secures its borders with terrible vigilance. All information, academic, commercial, official, is curated either manually or electronically. We think small because we have been made small. Donald, of course, is grotesquely larger than life. He's not big, he's hypertrophied. He's the Great Oz, a timid schlemiel playing with horn compressors that belch steam and flames and noise. He might be here for a reason, though. America's most strenuous believers sense that Almighty God personally chose Trump to serve as president, although they might be a little unclear about why. John Brown would know. If God were to choose Donald, it would be to hasten America's demise. We are so close now. We suffer gratuitous death. Racism dances in the shadows. Narcissism, envy, and resentment flourish. We are steps away from mass purification and atonement for the unforgivable sins that contaminate every American soul. Our government institutions have been undermined by decades of congressional parsimony and neglect, and by Trump sabotage, and by the public's new unforeseen dependence, and there are powerful interests with vast resources working to ensure that it never improves. Stop voting for people you hope will put things right. There is no route from here to fixed that passes through Capitol Hill or the White House or Wall Street or Silicon Valley. No one can help us from above. Obama didn't, Bernie wouldn't have, Kamala and Joe won't even try because they haven't got a clue. They imagine that Trump is the problem rather than the social rot that drove half of America to embrace him. Centrist politicians like Biden and Harris are the problem. Another 4 or 8 years of social stagnation and economic sadism and national unity and kumbaya morality will likely prompt us to elect someone far scarier than Donald in 2024 or 2028. And perhaps if that happens, we won't resist because a truly competent dictator will shut down all media they don't control while making those imaginary FEMA camps all too real. We are steps away. 4 more years ought to do it. Vote Trump 2020 or simply abstain if you're John Brown's kind of patriot. Help to hasten America's final act instead of holding on to a sturdy mess, like a mobile phone slithering down a public squat toilet. Just let it go, man, because it's gone. I can just imagine Thomas Green and John Brown smiling at the comfy Dems after this is all over and saying, "Hey, you gave us Joe Biden. We tried to let you know. We tried to warn you."